Messiah's Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of the Messiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Welcome to Mission Watch Live, another Messiah's Branch National Satellite Radio Program. We are broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's day is March 17, 2016. With Mission Watch Live, we are warning the world as it happens. I want to thank our listener base that is worldwide in places like Frankfurt, Germany, Russia, China, London, United Kingdom, Israel, Bolivia, Saudi Arabia, Chile, India, New Zealand, just to name a few, and of course in the good old USA, in cities such as Anchorage Street, Northport, Alabama, Tampa, Florida, Fort Wayne, Indiana, Detroit, Michigan, St. Paul, Minnesota, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, and many, many others, as well, of course, in Wichita, Kansas, where it seems like our largest listener base is. But remember, those are only the programs that I can tell, which are mainly that come on when this is podcast later. That's what I'm trying to say. Live radio out there right now, you folks are safe. I can't tell where you're at, nor how many of you's listening. So you folks are safe from my detection. Anyway, if you need help with anything after this program, call me. I'll pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, please leave your name, your number, your prayer request, and or message. Remember, you can send me a prayer request by email with your address included on it. I'll take it to the mission church. We'll anoint it with oil, pray on it, and send it back to you at no charge to you. Just make sure you include your address. You can send me one in the mail also that way. So the phone number is, of course, 620-878-4682. In an emergency, my cell phone is 316-619-4886. And to clear up something, I think somebody got the impression, I haven't been able to return their call yet, but I think somebody got the impression when I was talking about places of refuges for Christians that it was something that they could go to now. No, these are places of refuge that have been prepared, and people will go there in the time of trouble. It is not yet that time for them to go there. So, no, and I can't give their addresses or any of those things out. You will be. We'll talk about that. We'll do a whole other program on it sometime soon. Okay. You can always find updates of the breaking news, our ministry radio program archives, and our mailing address and our email address at our blog, which is simply prophecyhour.com. Prophecyhour.com. And remember, our program archives can be found over there, and so go check it out. You can find out anything you want to know about our ministry, even how to donate, where to mail a donation to, find out about the Homeless and Poor Ministry, which is the Wichita Mission Church, so on and so on and so forth. And for the record, you folks in Wichita, that is your city we're working in, come by and see us. Now, prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name, I pray. Father, I pray radio tonight goes according to your will and not my will. And please give everyone out there ears in which to hear the truth. In your Son's mighty name, Yeshua HaMashiach, amen and amen. Well, folks, I don't think it's wrong to try and protect your money. In fact, the Word tells us that we are to pass down to the next generations. Yes, I do believe we're in the time of the end, and it will get much worse. In fact, the time will come when gold or nothing else will save them. Only the Father's intercession will save them. But how long till that time hits? None of us really know. I believe it's okay for people to have money. Of course it is. The Word says it's easier, though, for a camel to get through the eye of the needle than it is for a rich man to get in heaven. But it doesn't say it's impossible. And by the way, the eye of a needle isn't that little needle that you stick a thread through. This eye of a needle is an arch thing in Israel where you just have to look it up. But it's not. But the point is, it's not evil in a sense to save your money. if you do have money, what will matter is whether you're storing up or saving. If you're storing up just saving for yourself and you're not going to help anybody else out, well, you know, I'm not so sure how safe you're going to be. But if you're saving with the heart of helping out the poor, or, you know, making sure you take care of your own family and others on down the road, you know, or people that show up to your door, you know, it's really judged according to your heart. I'm not going to judge your heart. That's up for Yeshua to do, not me, because all gut judgment was given to Yeshua. So anyway, but tonight's program, well, this was planned a few weeks ago when a guest brought the subject up of gold. We were talking about the end times, and he's talking about it not being reliable. And then about the same time that we were talking about it, my producer, Frank, texted me, and wow, he knew all about the subject. In fact, he had done a whole radio program about gold and what we were talking about. So we, at that time, I said, well, I'm putting you on the calendar because we need to do a whole program on this, or at least part of one. So Frank, who I'm talking about, is Francis Stephan. He is the founder of American Voice Radio, and he does a daily program called The Frank Report, in which, well, Frank is just really frank about what he says to people about how he feels about things. Anyway, Frank is also the producer of this radio program. So now let's just, so many times I've said Frank, let's welcome Frank. Are you there, Frank?
I am.
I think I said your name.
Yeah, you, have you said that enough times?
I don't know, Frank. Go on.
I have to take issue with you, though.
Oh, really?
Yeah, about the, you know, saving money, and obviously that's the whole, really the bottom line of gold or silver, is not so much profit and gain, but preservation of your wealth.
Yeah.
You know, you're not gaining anything. Gold is gold. An ounce is an ounce of gold. That's it. And the funny thing about it is, you know, in Rome, during the Roman Empire,
mm-hmm.
you could basically buy the same amount of stuff with an ounce of gold that you could buy with an ounce of gold today. And G. Edward Griffin uses the example of, you know, clothing. In Rome, you could buy, you know, one of those togas and a nice pair of sandals and, you know, your whole whatever you wear for about an ounce of gold. And today you can buy a nice suit, good pair of, you know, shoes,
right,
and with an ounce of gold. You know, so it's a preservation of value. It's really not, oh boy, you know, I'm going to buy this now and it's going to go up and then I'm going to cash in and I'm going to make a lot of, you know, that, yeah, you can do that, but that's really not what I look at gold and silver as. You know,
right.
I look at it as a preservation of wealth, and it doesn't just mean about catastrophe. We
right.
have something in this nation called inflation. And they always monkey with those numbers and, oh, we have 3% inflation. Well, nobody sees 3% inflation at the store. We see more like 10 to 20% inflation at the store. You know,
mm-hmm.
prices on everything that we use every day keep going up. But see, they don't count those things. You know, they only
really?
Count the things like refrigerators and stuff like that. And they,
right.
oh, well, okay then. You know, that only went up 3%. Well, that's, I don't buy a refrigerator every day. I don't buy a new car every day. You know, I don't buy these things
right,
every
right.
day. And yeah, okay, those only go up 3% a year. And those are the things they count. But food, fuel, things like that, sure, gas has come down, but that's not going to last for long. You know, this is
yeah.
just a game they're playing with that. But, you know, the thing is, inflation, even though gas has gone down, inflation still exists. Which
right.
means it's stealing the value of your money, meaning a dollar has less buying power 1 month from now than it will now.
Right. So every time inflation goes up, that's like stealing a part of your dollar.
It
right?
is, and now they're talking about doing negative interest rates at banks, meaning they're going to start charging you money to keep your money in their bank. You know, so... You know, if you want to, and that's on top of the inflation. So, you know, your money is losing value if you're keeping it in paper. It's just the way it is. And,
right.
you know, when you said, well, you know, if your heart's right about saving money, I think you should be saving you know, on preserving your wealth for your family.
Right.
You know, and yourself, and that's it. You know, the time for these people, okay, and I have, you know, you're a pastor, I'm not. And these people that are sitting around listening going, oh, that's all nice and stuff, and when everything goes bad, then I'll deal with it. Well, it's too late then, and you're being told now. My job is not to share what I'm putting away with you. My job is to tell you, hey, there's a storm coming. You better prepare. And if you don't, well, your blood's not on my hands, and I won't help you because you've had your chance. You know, and Christians, you know, unsaved people better get that through their head, too. If you're out there thinking that you're going to wait till the last minute and go, well, right before I take my last breath, I'll say, oh, Jesus, please forgive me, you know, blah, blah, blah. And, yeah, well, you know, I'm not saying you can't do that because the Bible it makes it very easy for people to be saved. And I'm not saying there's no such thing as deathbed salvation, but you don't know when you're going to die. You might have it all planned out. Well, on my deathbed, and then, boom, you get hit by lightning. You didn't have a deathbed. You're just dead, and you didn't get a chance to do that. You know, and if you think that's going to happen for you, you're really, really playing with fire, and literally, and, you know, same with gold, same with storage food, same with any of that. If you think you're going to wait, and then you'll deal with it, no. I'm not going to be one of the people there to help you. I'm helping you now. I'm trying to tell you, listen, hey, you need to get yourself together. Because this is like waiting going, well, I don't have to get a gun. I have a cell phone. I'll just call 911.
No, that is funny.
You know, well.
By the time 911 gets there, you will be already dead.
Yeah, well, I think there's even a video out, Call 911 and Die.
Is it? Yeah.
I think that's the name of it. So anybody who wants to look that on up on Google, I think that is a video.
So well, go ahead. But let me say this. You know what? And folks, you see, this is what I meant about Frank being Frank. But it's like this, Frank. I really do agree with you to a point. Most everything that you said, people should be getting ready right now. This thing of wait until the last minute, or maybe hearing us talk on radio. Well, I heard on Pastor Dan's show that there's going to be people storing up food all over the country. Well, I'll just go to one of these places of refuge. You know, that's actually an insult and tempting the Father, because I believe he is warning people and telling them to get ready. Their total ignorance to it is not necessarily based on a belief that I think so much that they'll take care of them, but they're too busy in putting all their money in other things and doing other things and not paying attention, thinking, well, I'll just do it at the last minute because somebody else will take care of me.
Well, and that's, you know, and this is what I've said many times, you know, I get so sick, you know, and I don't want to belabor this or anything, but because I don't care, you know, I mean, but when people, because other hosts and stuff say, you know, hey, why don't you contribute to the network? Okay, fine. And then people go, well, I don't have any money. Okay, well, if that was true, that'd be one thing. And there are people that really don't have any extra money. None. Zero. They're not even able to keep up with all their own bills, you know.
Right.
But there's other people who, you know, they are kept up with their bills, and they say they have no money because, well, you know, they're standing in line buying a pack of cigarettes for $8 or whatever, and, you know, stopping by the liquor store and spending another $20, and going out to dinner, spending another $50, going to the movie, spending another $50, and priorities, you see, is what it is. It's not that you don't have the money, it's that your priorities are screwed up, and you would rather go spend it on fun stuff, and everybody likes to have fun, but I mean, you know, and you have to have a little balance, though, and with your preparation, you can't just sit there and say, well, I just don't have the money to prepare.
Right.
Yes, you do. Unless, of course, you know, and Dan deals with these people that are living on the street. They don't. Okay, these are people who legitimately don't. They can't prepare. They're just trying to get through to tomorrow, okay? You know, there's nothing about, oh, the future when things go bad. Really? I live under a bridge. When things go bad? You know, things are already bad for the homeless, okay? And they're just trying to survive. And that's where you're all going to be here before too long. And, you know, you might not be homeless, but, you know, when the electricity goes off, a lot of things are going to change.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you got to have things, and you can't sit there and go, well, gee, I spent all my money going to the movies and buying cigarettes or whatever it is you do. I'm not picking on those things. They're just examples, and it could be anything. But that's not to say, well, don't ever, you know, buy anything except storage. No, but don't just ignore storage stuff, gold, silver, food, water. You know, don't just say, oh, well, you know, I just don't have the time or money or space or whatever. Well, make the time, get the money, and do it, or else, you know, you're going to be left in a big jam. Now, the gold thing.
Well, let me say just before you go into the gold thing. As an addition to that, you know, the way I've always felt about storing up is that it should be a part of your regular lifestyle, meaning that when you go to the store, you know, you buy a few extra cans of this or that, you know, and you should stock your house more like the grocery store instead of buying per meal, you know what I mean?
Exactly.
You know, you buy cases of canned foods, you know, and so if you want to make a meal, you pull it off your shelf. But there should be an over, you know, there should be left over every month to where it builds up.
Yep.
And so it should be done over a period of time. And I've always stressed and said that. The second thing is tangibles, things that you could use or would use, whether it's gloves or all those other kind of things that you could barter for something, you know, is also a great thing. And you could do that also at a little bit extra, you know, a few bucks extra a month. Right now, though, we're getting to a critical place where we really need a stock back to you.
Well, that's true, and you make a good point with things like gloves and, you know, whatever, shovels, you know, whatever it is you figure, well, you know people are going to need this, whatever this is, and you just get extra so you will have something to barter with, you know, because not everybody's going to want. Yeah, I think gold and silver are still going to be a medium of exchange in those times because, you know, people are still going to always try to do business together,
right?
Because we have to, you know. And the easiest way, and yeah, you can say, well, hey, I'll trade you three pairs of gloves for that shovel, you know. And you can do that too, but that's assuming you got gloves and he needs them and you need, you know, all that,
right?
Whereas a medium of exchange, you know, it doesn't matter if you've got something I need, I can just give you this for that. You can go and take it to somebody else who has what you need, and
right,
you can exchange that. And that's, you know, it. And you got to be kind of, I kind of rely on silver for that. I look at silver and figure, well, that's going to work for the smaller things, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then the fractional gold pieces, 1/10 ounces, 1/4 ounces, they cost a little more to buy because there's a little higher premium on them,
right?
But you know, they're well worth having because these are, because an ounce of gold, I at least believe, is going to become pretty darn valuable.
Right. I believe you're right.
And, you know, so I have an ounce of gold and an ounce thing. What am I going to buy for that? I mean, a house, a car, what? I mean, you know,
yeah.
I'm going to need littler things. So I got to think that through and have smaller denominations, a lot of smaller weights, should I say.
Right.
You know, and
right,
a lot of people prefer 90% what they call junk silver.
Mm-hmm.
I personally don't. I like silver rounds, the 999, you know, pure silver.
Right, right.
But, you know, hey, I don't have anything against junk silver. I just don't prefer to do that myself. But a lot of people do, and I see the value in that, you know, and you can use those to trade too. But you got to think this through, and you cannot get confused and say, well, okay, yeah, well, I've got this dealer, and I'm going to buy some gold. And what you're really buying is a certificate.
Okay, there we go. This is what we were talking about was brought up on the program. Now, I want to say something to people real quick. Give me 1 minute. Folks, you really need to listen to this part because I know a lot of people and a lot of ministries, this is what they've done. They have invested in gold, but you'll need to really listen to what Frank's about to tell you. And even if you don't have gold or you're thinking about considering, you really need to listen to this. And even you that aren't even going to do anything with gold, you really need to listen to this because it just shows you where things are at. Okay, Frank, tell them the deal.
Well, they have this thing, and I think they call them ETFs. I'm not sure. They might call them something else. But what they amount to is, let's say I'm one of these dealers, and I say, okay, Dan, sure, you want an ounce of gold. That's great. Okay, send me the money, you know, for this much, whatever spot is, plus whatever my premium is, and you send me that. So you send me the money, and I go, okay. And now I send Dan a certificate, and it says Dan owns 1 ounce of gold located at my safe at my house, and I'm taking care of it for Dan, and I live 1,000 miles away from Dan. Okay, so Dan has this little slip of paper, and you know, people might figure, yeah, well, you know, hey, that's like gold based money, that's there's nothing wrong with that. Well, no, there's nothing wrong with that if it was a square deal going on like that. If I was issuing a 1 ounce certificate for every ounce of gold I had. But this is not what they're doing. They're issuing, and you can look this up online again, folks. You know, type in 300-to-1 COMEX gold, paper gold, 300-to-1. Put something like that because that's the number. 300. What I'm doing is I'm issuing 300 slips of paper for 300 ounces of gold for every 1 ounce of physical gold I actually have. You see the problem that can happen with that? Because if just two of those people, just
isn't
two of those
fractional
people.
Fractional banking?
It is. Except fractional banking is dealing with, you know, fictional paper money anyway, so it doesn't really matter what they do because it's all fictional anyway. But gold is, there is a physical ounce of gold, but there's 300 slips of paper out there. There's 300 people who think they own that ounce of gold. And the thing is, if only two of them both come and call me up and say, hey, you know, I've got this certificate, I want to send it in to you, and I want you to send me the physical gold, I'm in a jam, okay? The whole system's in a jam. Because what's going to happen when that happens? Nothing good.
Well, so then they're intentional. So all this money, they sold the same ounce of gold 300 times. It seems like that would be highly, highly illegal. But before you answer that, you need to tell them when the Frank report is, because I have this producer by the name of Frank, and he's real sticky about going to commercial at the right time. So in a minute, less than a minute, we're going to break. So, Frank, would you tell us when the Frank report is?
Yeah, the Frank report is on at noon Pacific time, Monday through Friday. It's also on at 8 p.m. Pacific time. These are different shows. They're both live. Monday through Thursday. I don't do a nighttime show on Friday, but then you can pick them up in the archives just like you can all the shows, including Dan's.
Yeah, amen. And then that, folks, that's at AmericanVoiceRadio.com. If you're not already listening there, they've got a lot of good players over there, and they got a lot of good guests. Go check them out, and we'll be back with Frank in 3 minutes.
Dan will be right back.
we're back. This is Pastor Dan Catlin, and you're listening to Mission Watch Live on the American Voice Radio Network. Well, it sounded like I almost forgot my last name, didn't it? I've only been saying it 60 years. Well, of course I haven't said it 60 years. You know what I mean, folks. Anyway, but now I want to ask you to, you know, pray about supporting the Wichita Mission Church. You know, this is something that we started over 16 years ago when the Father kept me up all night long and told me to feed the poor, feed the poor, feed the poor. Since then, in June, it's going to be 16 years we've did this, and we're starting our 17th year. One interesting fact that most people don't realize, the Mission Church is 60 miles away from me, and that's the how far I have to drive. It's a 120-mile round trip, and then all around Wichita doing different things for the homeless and poor. And, you know, usually I'm not a rich man, and we put 90% of all our money that comes into our family, into the ministry, whatever, goes to feeding the poor and the homeless, taking care of the Mission Church. And so when it comes time to buy a car, I always spend less than $1,000 on a car because I have to scrape up the money for it because there's not a lot of money laying around when you have an endless stream of people that need things. I'm not complaining. Just saying that the car that I drive back and forth, well, we've just went through another one. And so I'm in the process right now of praying in. I need another vehicle to drive back and forth to Wichita, Kansas. Yes, we have a ride there for when we go tomorrow. But I really need to get this done over the weekend. So pray with me, folks, that either maybe by some far out chance this car can be fixed, which is doubtful because it's had so many things go wrong with it, or that somebody donates a vehicle, or maybe that the money comes in to get a vehicle. So pray for that, folks. And also, if you don't want to help with that, we always need your help for food, clothing, hats, gloves. We really need blankets. The winter overflow is closing, and we can no longer get the emergency blankets free. We need blankets, 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 and more blankets. In fact, just at the end of this month, when it becomes April 1st, we could use at least a couple of 100 to 300 blankets on that day because that's how many people are going to be coming around looking for blankets. And we usually give them two, when it was emergency blankets, we'd give two apiece, you know, to the people, you know, because it's cold out there. They need one to lay on, one to cover up with, whatever, but we need blankets. So if you're in the Wichita area, consider, if you've got some extra blankets, bring them by. We could use them. Any extra food, clothing, any of that stuff, just bring it by the Mission Church. Anyway, why do so many people come to us for help? Well, because we give them love. We give them a relationship. We're not an agency. We're not an agency at all. Agencies send people to us. People that have millions of dollars in their budget send people to a place that has no budget. You know, so we really do need your help, folks. And we are responsible to care one for another, as we are our brother's keepers. All donations, no matter what size, helps. And the Father notices all donations that come from where? Your heart. If you don't wish to help donating to the poor, consider these radio programs. If they're a blessing to you, pray about supporting radio because it's donations that keep us on the air. Because if you listen to us, we don't sell anything. In fact, I don't even sell storage food. I had the opportunity to sell storage food, but I didn't think it would be right to sell you storage food and tell you that you need to store up at the same time, even though I'm telling you today you need to store up food. But I just couldn't see making a profit off of what I did. And so I withdraw from what, you know, which was Wise Foods program to do that. And I still believe Wise is a good program to do that. I just won't sell it because my heart won't let me profit off of something that I'm telling you. I'm just sorry I can't do that. So pray about supporting Wichita Mission Church. Pray about supporting radio. And now we're talking, while we're on the subject of gold, that's what we're talking about, is gold storing up and getting ready. And we're talking with Frank, who does the Frank Report on American Voice Radio. Are you still with me, Frank?
I am, Dan.
Well, thank you so much for being there. So let's go back to this gold thing for a minute. You know, 300 to 1, that means 1 ounce of gold, sold it, and they've sold it to 300 different people, gave them 300 different pieces of paper. How can they do that legally?
Well, you know, I don't know the legalities of it precisely. I mean, on its face, it seems like fraud. But then again, this, we go back in history. how our current banking system started, and you made the point to say, well, isn't that fractional, banking? And yeah, it is. It's exactly what they do. The only difference is they're doing it with fictional made up money anyway. So it really doesn't matter what they do because it's a fantasy anyway. So who cares? It's kind of like, what's it matter what a liar says to you? You know, because they're lying.
Right.
You know,
right.
It doesn't matter what they say. They're lying. You know, it doesn't matter what they do with this phony baloney money because it's phony baloney anyway.
Right.
You know, go ahead and tell me there's 50 when there's only one. I don't care. It doesn't matter. You know, because the one, even if you told me there was one, it doesn't really exist. You know, so what? Okay, so the 50 don't really exist either. It doesn't make any difference. But with gold, you do have physical gold. It is a tangible item. And they're just doing this. But in history, how our banking system came about was when everybody had gold and silver coins in their pockets. This was, you know, the medium of exchange. And people would travel. And they'd have to go, you know, okay, I'm going to go 100 miles to this other town or whatever. Well, they would have to bring with them their wealth.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you couldn't just say, oh, well, hey, trust me. I got gold 100 miles up the road, you know. No, nobody was going to deal with that, right? You had to bring it. Well, but you're going to travel with all this money bad enough. Now you're going to get to the town. You don't want to have all your wealth on you. So you would take it to the local goldsmith, right, and say, I'd like you to store this for me, you know, while I'm here in town. And he'd go, okay. And he'd take your gold and silver and write you a receipt. Okay, man, okay, fine. And that was the business. Honest, okay? He charged you a fee. You do this. But then people started realizing instead of, okay, so I'm going to the store over here and I want to buy this. Oh, I got to run back to the goldsmith and get, you know, a couple ounces of gold and then run back and buy the thing, right? Well, everybody in town knew the goldsmith. So they would say, hey, tell you what, instead of running off to the goldsmith, why don't you just give me that receipt for the gold at the goldsmith, right?
Right.
And I'll give you in return a receipt minus, you know, whatever you owe me. Okay?
Right.
And that way we don't have to run around grabbing gold and stuff. Okay, so fine. We make a transaction. You have this certificate that you can take down to the, this receipt that you, down the store owner can take it down to the goldsmith and say, hey, I got a receipt here for an ounce of gold.
Right.
From this guy's stuff because he bought this. Okay, fine. Well, it didn't take the goldsmith long to realize, gee, everybody's passing around these receipts, right, to do business.
Yeah.
Nobody's really collecting their gold back anymore. So, you know, I could actually get away probably with issuing receipts for gold I don't really have because, well, I've been watching this a while, and I see that only, say, 40% of the people come in here and want their physical gold. So that means 60%, I can write 60% more paper than I actually have gold because these people will never come back in here. And the thing is, I can get wealthy that way. And that's exactly what they did. And that is the birth of our banking system.
Wow.
You know, and we're doing it again. You know, they're doing it again. They're doing exactly the same thing. They're issuing more paper than they got gold to back it. And you know, you want to avoid that. You also want to avoid scams that say, oh, hey, you know, we got this speck of gold on this card here that you can buy for only this much, and it doesn't sound like much. You go, well, that's not so much for gold. But, yeah, you're getting a gram of gold, and if you really add it up, you are paying, like, close to $3,000 an ounce for gold in that way. Okay?
Wow.
It's crazy. It go buy a tenth ounce of gold. You know, it's like, what, $140 or something.
Right.
Or if you don't have $140, go buy some silver. You know, what is that, $20? If you don't have $20, then I suggest you just go start buying cans of food. You don't have enough money to worry about storing it. You need to worry about getting cans of food and rice and things like that, okay? I'm talking, if you've got, okay, look, I'm all ready. I've got rice, I got beans, I got food, I got water, I got guns, I got ammo, I got everything, right? And I got this extra money. well, this is for you. You get gold and silver. But until you got all that other stuff, man, priority. And don't right. think, well, I'm not going to do that. I'll just get a bunch of gold and silver. And then when everything goes bad, I'll just go to my neighbor who has been storing stuff, and I'll buy. You know, I'll trade him. I'll give him gold for some of his food. Well, you may have a neighbor that wants to do that. And you may not. Your neighbor right. might say, you know what, I can't eat that gold. I don't want it. Got
right.
anything else?
Yeah, absolutely. So, well, and here's another thing. So, you know, even if, let's just throw out there that there's a reputable person out there, and I'm not calling the other guys crooks, but let's say this. Suppose, Brank, that there is a guy out there that he has 20 ounces of gold, and he only gives out 20 paper things, and so then everything falls apart, and you want your gold, and he has your gold. But isn't the real big question then also, how are you going to get that gold if something falls apart?
Oh, absolutely. There's all kinds of things that can go wrong with that deal. Now, you know, paper gold is okay if you want to get into the market to, say, make a gain. You know, if you've got it in your head and you say, okay, look, I think gold is at its low, okay, and I'm going to buy a bunch of it because I think here within 6 months it's going to skyrocket, right? So I'm going to buy all this, but I'm buying it not to keep. I'm buying it to sell, which is fine. You know, if you want to invest, you want to gamble, you know, just like the stock market or anything, you can do that with gold too. And it's a lot more difficult with physical gold because there is that lag time of, you know, getting the gold to your dealer, getting them to pay you, you know, all this stuff. The certificates are a lot faster. It is more like, you know, making stock trades. So if you are just going to go play and gamble, then fine. You know, you can do that with paper gold. As a matter of fact, that's what they want you to do with it. They certainly do not want. It would be a catastrophe if people who have these paper gold decided, I want the real gold. It ain't going to happen. There ain't enough gold, okay? So, you know, there's a problem there, you know? Now, in the chat room, Melissa's posted this, and it's good information because you said that you really needed blankets, and I just want to tell the people out there, especially in Wichita, but then again, shoot, you can send anything, and I bet there's ways to actually buy it, because everybody's got a Walmart near them. I'm sure you even have a Walmart in Kansas, don't you?
Well, of course, every few miles or so.
Yeah, so, you know, people can actually buy things and do an in-store pickup, and you can and Dan can go pick it up. And what I'm talking about is, and I've got a couple of them myself, they have twin-size blankets, which is good enough for one person, you know.
Right.
For $5.
For $5?
Yeah, brand new, $5. And I'll tell you what, they seem pretty thin, but they're actually a lot warmer than you would think. You know, by holding this blanket, you think, but this thing is, you know. But then right. when you use it, you go, wow, this thing's actually quite a warm blanket. So it's just something to think about, folks. They've got the $5 twin. Let's see here. She has the name and everything here. They're extra long, and they're twins. They're $4.88, actually. They're not $5. They're under $5, really.
Yeah. $10, you could buy a person two blankets, and that's exactly what we said we needed. So there's a really good example. $10 instead of what? Some people spend $10 on a Starbucks coffee. Can you believe that? $10 on a coffee?
Wow.
But skip a coffee and send two blankets, you know?
Yeah, and that's the thing. And being that it's Walmart, the hated corporation, but nevertheless, they're everywhere, okay?
Right.
And they do. You can just sit at your computer, folks. You can just buy one of these or two of these blankets. They're Mainstay. That's the name of them, Mainstays. And, you know, and you can just do an in-store pickup, and Dan can go, you know, you got to send Dan the information because they're going to ask him for, you know, the receipt number and all this stuff when you pick it up. But, you know, Dan prints that out. He goes down to the Walmart, and boom, now the Wichita Homeless Mission has blankets. It's that easy, you know?
Right. Absolutely. And let me add to that. You know, folks, all you really need to do ahead of time for me is just email me, and I will give you the location of, or you can pick any Walmart in Wichita, Kansas, or Newton, Kansas, for that matter, or El Dorado. But if you email me, I'll give you the address of the store to pick. And I can go pick it up. In fact, you can do that with all kinds of things from Walmart. I've got a page on it someplace, but that sounds funny. But anyway.
And the Dollar Tree. You know, the Dollar Tree, you could do that too.
Yeah, absolutely. And I love the Dollar Tree. And the Dollar Tree, you can do that also, and you can get medications, over-the-counter medications, which we use, hygiene items, all those things. You don't have to ship them or anything. You just find out what store I want you to send it to, and then you send me the information, and I go pick it up. It's that easy. If you don't, and a lot of people really like sending stuff instead of sending cash, which I'm perfectly fine with, because that's all I'm going to do with it anyway, just turn it into that stuff.
Well, and you know, you can't blame people. I mean, because there's so many shysters out there, and everybody's been ripped off at least once, you know, by somebody. And, you know, so people rightfully, you know, hey, I want to help the poor. I want to give the poor blankets. So instead of saying, okay, here, somebody, yeah, I've heard your voice on the air, you sound like a nice guy, but I've never met you, and I don't know. So, would I rather send you money and hope you buy blankets with it, or I'll just send you blankets. You want blankets? Here's blankets. It's like the people that say, oh, we'll work for food. Really? Here's some food. Oh, I don't want that. Oh, really? I see. You know.
I'm sorry, I have to laugh at that one. I know a few of those.
Yeah, because, hey, Dan makes the point that, look, not everybody on the street's an alcoholic drug addict, and that is absolutely true. As a matter of fact, the majority of people on the street are not alcoholic drug addicts.
Right.
Or any other kind of criminal. But that doesn't mean that element does not exist, because it certainly does. And, you know,
I got to tell you about one of the guys. I've known him for years, Jake. And he asked me one day, he came in and he was on his way to being lit. And I said, what's up, Jake? And he said, I need to borrow a piece of cardboard and a magic marker. And I said, okay, what are you going to do? Go stand down at Kellogg? And he said, yeah. And so, you know, okay, Jake, and I knew he was looking for a drunk because, you know, he could eat it. He was eating at our place anyway. Anyway, so he wrote his sign up in it, and I caught him as he was walking out the door. And I said, well, let me see your sign. And he showed it to me, and he was real proud of it. It said, almost drunk, need booze. And I said, really, Jake? He said, yeah, I thought I'd be honest today. And you know what? Yeah, he got quite a few donations, come to think of it.
Well, Dan, as you know, I lived several years, close to 7 years on the street, and I've done that very same thing, not with a sign, but, when I wanted a drunk, I would go panhandle money in front of the liquor store.
Well, that makes sense.
You know, and I wasn't putting on any illusions what I'm going to do with the money.
Yeah.
I'm going to follow you into the store. You're going in a liquor store. So
why can't I?
Yeah, who are you to tell me, well, hey, you know, you're not allowed to go in the liquor store because you don't have a job. Well, is that the qualification, really? I mean, you got to have a job to go in the liquor store? See, the thing is, you know, honesty does go a long way because, man, I never sat out front of a liquor store more than 15 minutes.
Right, right.
You know,
well, you know, here's something that most people don't know. I really actually dare them to go to the last proverb and read it. And it talks about the poor drinking alcohol to ease their burden of being poor. And it also talks about giving alcohol to people that are dying. But, so think twice about what you think about somebody that is even out there drunk. Not saying, some of them are doing it as an escape or to ease their burden. I'm not saying it's 100% okay, people have problems. But don't be so quick to judge, because let me tell you what, folks, all this talk about preparation and everything, if you don't prepare right, you are going to end up in the street. And you know what? It may be some of these very homeless people out there that know how to survive that teach you how to survive after that, because you wouldn't believe how many of them are Christians and are devout Christians and, in fact, know that this is coming, and they're laughing at the rest of the world around them, because they say, hey, look, see these guys over here? They're not going to have anything soon, and I'm going to tell them what to do, you know, and that's the facts. Anyway, back to you.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's always the case, you know. The more you got, the harder it is to lose it all. And when you've already lost it all, what's it matter to me if the whole place goes down? You know, it's another day to me. You know,
yeah.
I mean, really, I'm still going to be living under the bridge. It's just going to be a little more crowded tomorrow.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
You know, and that's the whole thing, too, about charity.
Mm-hmm.
See, if you're running around thinking you're being charitable and you're judging everybody on, well, what are you going to do with the money? Well, you don't look like, oh, well, gee, I smell alcohol on you. I'm not giving you any money. Or I'm not, you know, well, this money's for this and that money's for that. You know, that's not charity, okay?
No.
That's not charity. Look, charity's not easy. Charity is just giving something to somebody only because they need it. That's all. Only because they need it. You know, even, and you know, I've seen people and they give money, and, you know, some homeless people are very nice and very thankful, and others just grab it and walk, right? And I've seen people actually get mad, upset that, you know, this I offered, you know, $1 or $5 to this homeless guy, he just grabbed it and walked away. No thank you, no nothing. Well, if you're looking for a thank you, that's not charity anymore.
You're giving to get.
You know, and if you think, oh, well, that's not really getting anything in return, well, then what are you mad about?
Yeah.
If it wasn't anything, then you wouldn't care if he said thank you or not. But you do. So it is something, and you were expecting it, you didn't get it. And that's not charity.
Well, you know, Frank, that's a biblical principle, because it says the best person to help is to help somebody that can't in any way repay you, that can't even thank you. That's the those kind of things, you get treasure stored in heaven. But when you get a reward, and you know, when people tell me thank you, I always say over and over, say, no, it comes from the Father, thank him for it, don't thank me for it. I don't want your thanks. I understand you appreciate it, but that's not the point. I'm not doing it to get your appreciation. I'm doing it because you need it. And by me serving you, I'm serving the Father. And that's the way that we look at it. You know, we serve the Father by serving people.
Hey, guess what? Somebody in the chat room wants to buy you a blanket, and he's asking, how is the Walmart Supercenter at 6110 West Kellogg Drive good?
That's great.
Okay. That's
yeah, that's actually one of the best, and it's pretty close to me, and I don't have, yeah, it's a good place, yeah, absolutely.
Okay, well, there you go. You know, I guess you'll have a blanket waiting at Walmart there.
Yeah, and if you folks want to use a Dollar Tree, there's a Dollar Tree over on Pawnee Street, it'd be West Pawnee, if you want to use a Dollar Tree. And I'm glad we brought this up. This is, folks, this is a fantastic way to help the ministry. You don't have to give me money. Just go to the Dollar Tree and online, buy the things that we're talking about, and just do it like this man's doing with Walmart.
Yeah. And keep in mind, when you're looking around on the, because I love the Dollar Tree's website.
Oh,
like,
man.
Looking around in there.
Dollar Tree's a trap.
And when you, yeah, it is, because you end up spending $50 going, wait a minute, how'd that happen? This is a dollar store, you know. But, you know, the thing is, though, when you're looking through there, keep in mind, when you're going, oh, my, well, gee, I've never been homeless. What do these people need? I don't know what these people need. Well, they need everything you need.
Yeah, absolutely.
They're people like you are. You need things. They need the same things. You know,
yeah,
I mean, they're not, you know, because you're homeless doesn't mean you're, oh, well, now you're some alien creature from somewhere else that doesn't need the same things everybody else does.
Right.
You know, I mean, they need just what you need. So, you know, don't stress about it. Just look there and go, hey, do I need this? Would I need this? You know, well, if the answer is yes, then they probably need it too.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Very well put, Frank. Couldn't have put it better myself. The homeless need what you need. Well, Frank, hey, this was a really good program. Thanks for being on with me. But I got to get out of here because my producer's going to be, you know.
God,
you know,
stop blaming that poor guy, man.
Anyway, come listen to Frank. He has a daily program called The Frank Report, and he's really frank about what he says. We'll talk to you later, Frank. Bye-bye. Anyway, folks, I really like Frank. He's really intelligent. You should go listen to his radio program. And we just got educated today on how banking got started and what to do about gold and what's safe. And I really mean this because I know a lot of you folks have bought gold up out there and have these certificates. And but I want you to remind you also, if you have enough money to buy gold and save up, really, you need to consider and make sure you take it to prayer. How much of I believe that everybody should be giving to the poor, whether it's in a time of trouble or whatever. Make sure you've given properly to the poor and to your, and if you're in a local ministry or church, that you're doing the right thing there also. Always do local. If you have anything left over, think about the Wichita Mission Church. We really, really, really are in need of your help right now. Okay, but remember, there is only one God. That's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His son is Yeshua HaMashiach, who gave his life for our repentant sins. He rose after 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And through him, and only through him, is the way to the Father. Remember to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, and all your soul. Then love your neighbor as yourself. Always, always, always be a blessing to others. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. That's like praying for Messiah's return. Lord our God, Father, King of the universe, ask in Yeshua HaMashiach's name that the Father blesses and keeps you, and his face shines upon you, and is gracious to you, and gives you peace like no one or nothing else can. Until an hour from now, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for Messiah's Branch.